And we're going to read one verse together. If you've been saved for any length of time, this is a very familiar passage. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Isaiah 1, verse number 18. And we're reading from the King James Bible. If you have a Bible, let's read together in unison, shall we? Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm going to talk to you this morning about let's reason together and reasoning. Dear God, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them, bless the junior church. Lord, help us to block out everything out of our minds right now and just to pay attention to the Word of God this morning. Lord, help us to love you the way that we ought to. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, Isaiah 1, verse number 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God has a proffer for everybody, an invitation for everybody to reason together. And before you and I can understand what God's request is here of all of us, we have to understand what reason means. And so I have the definition for reason. And the definition for reason is that which is thought or which is alleged in words as the ground or cause of opinion, conclusion, or determination. Reason is the cause, ground, principle, or motive of anything said or done, that which supports or justifies a determination, plan, or measure. A faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes truth from falsehood, and good from evil, and which enables the possessor to deduce inferences from facts or from propositions. It's right. It's justice. That which is dictated or supported by reason. Rationale. To exercise the faculty of reason to deduce inferences justly from premises. To argue. To infer conclusions from premises, or to deduce new or unknown propositions from previous propositions which are known or evident. To debate, to confer or inquire by discussion or mutual communication of thoughts. To endeavor to inform, convince, or persuade by argument. To discourse, to talk, to take or give an account, to examine or discuss by arguments, to debate or discuss, to persuade by reasoning or argument, as to reason one into a belief of truth, to reason one out of his plan, to reason down a passion. Those are some of the definitions of the word reason. As you can see, there's a lack of reason in society today. And a lot of that has to do with what I preached in the adult Bible study is alcohol and drugs. Because alcohol and drugs, and alcohol is a drug, by the way, because alcohol and drugs are so prevalent in our society, we have a lack of reason in our society. And people cannot think reasonably. So when God asks this question, or makes this statement, this invitation for everybody, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though you're a child of hell on your way to hell to burn forever, why don't you ask Jesus Christ for mercy to forgive you of your sins and save your soul now before you die? That is not complicated. That is not hard to understand. God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person has sinned. Every single person is going to die. Every single person without the Lord Jesus Christ is going to spend an eternity in hell. And so God says to sinners, come now, not after you die, now, because once you die, it's too late. You seal your eternity. You seal your fate. So God says, come now and let us. I mean, here's God Almighty, sinless God, never had a bad thought, never had a sinful thought, no sinful deed. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, come now, let us, sinful God with sinful man, reason together. Let's talk about this, he said. Let's discuss this. You're a child of hell on your way to hell. You don't want to go there. You may think it's funny now. You may laugh now. Your friends may mock now. But I'm telling you, when you wake up dead, burning in hell, you're going to wish you listened. So God says, come now and let us reason together, he says. Let us talk about your condition. Let us talk about your spiritual condition right now. You're a sinner, red like crimson. You're guilty. You're born in sin, you choose to sin. You live a life of sin. So he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Wouldn't you like it like a clean slate? Wouldn't you like to come to Jesus and say, Lord, can you just clean the whole slate for me? Well, he does do that at salvation. He does that when you ask for mercy and forgiveness. He does do that when you ask for reconciliation. So even though you're guilty as red as blood, God says, why don't you want to come and get everything straightened out right now? Not just for salvation, but for fellowship. He says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. All God says is, let's talk about this. Why would you choose to die and go out into eternity lost as a child of hell to burn forever? And he says to the child of God, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason. Let's talk about this. Why should we disobey God? Why should we go on and live our lives without acknowledging God, without the word of God? Here are some synonyms of the word reason. Synonym is something that is akin or close to the definition of reason. And here's words that are likened to reason. Logic. First one, logic. Sense. Acumen. Brains. Comprehension. Deduction. Discernment. Inference. Intellect. Judgment. Lucidity. Marbles. I can't believe that's in there, but it said marbles. Mentality. Mind. Reasonableness, saneness, and sanity. These are all synonyms of the word reason. If you were here for the adult Bible study, you heard a whole bunch of verses what God thinks about alcohol, wine, and strong drink. And that's just part one of what we're going to go through. Our society is so engulfed into drugs and alcohol, they can't think straight. They can't reason. And the further somebody goes into that kind of alcohol or drugs, the worse their thinking gets. But God says, come now, let us reason together, he said. Well, there's some verses in the Bible that talk about us reasoning and using our reason. Since we're in Isaiah, please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41, please. It's only 40 chapters away for those who went to public school. Public school. Isaiah 41. And here's what God says. He says in verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Go down all the way down to verse number 21, please. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. So God is a very reasonable God. He says, produce your evidence, your thinking, your cause of why you should reject me. Can you imagine the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, having a discussion with man, sinful mankind, said, produce your best argument why you shouldn't get saved. Why you shouldn't trust me, the one who made you, the one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one to save you. Why should you reject? Give me your best shot, he says. That's why people run away from God, because they have no argument with God. They have no reason with God. They have no evidence against God. And so what people do is they turn away from God. But God, I mean, if I was a creator, I would demand, you know, my creation to love me. I would demand my creation to serve me. I would demand, if I created something, I'd want that due reward. I want that due acknowledgement. But God says, come now, let's reason together. Though you're a sinner on your way to hell, give me your best shot. Tell me why you shouldn't get saved from a burning hell that you're going to burn in forever. Tell me why you shouldn't ask me for mercy to save your soul from hell. And the answer is, there is no answer. God is right, and we're sinners, ladies and gentlemen. But he says here, produce it, he says. He says, produce your cause. Say the Lord, bring forth your strong reason, say the King of Jacob. First Samuel chapter 12, verse number 7 says, now therefore stand still, listen to me good, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. So the preacher saying, stand still, pay attention, and listen to how good God's been to you. People can't sit still today. They got to have earphones on all the time, listen to music all the time, listen to phones all the time, listen to radio all the time, listen to television all the time, listen to cell phone all the time. Everybody's got to have noise going on because nobody wants to be quiet. They want to live on a continual distraction because they don't want to think about God. The preacher says, stand still. He said, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord. So the only way you can sort of reason with someone else, not just God, but with everybody, is if you have a sit-down, quiet discussion where there's no distractions. You can hear somebody, whatever argument they have, whatever disagreement they have, whatever debate they have, whatever evidence they have, so you can quietly sit and talk with somebody and listen to them and hear them out. Our society is so far away from God. We want to be involved with so many different things and have so many distractions. We have no time for God. We have baseball games and football games and basketball games and hockey games and vacations and picnics. And we're so busy, Pastor. Yeah, you're so busy. You're too busy for God to just listen to what God has to say. Too busy to read the Word of God. Too busy to pray. Too busy to come to church. And thus, people don't reason together today. They don't want to hear what God has to say. I have news for you. If God lets you live, you have a future ahead of you. If God lets you live. If I were you, I'd listen to what God has to say about your future. I would listen to what God's reasoning is for you. The wisest man ever lived said, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. Job said in Job 9, choose out my words to reason with him. You got to choose words to talk with God. He said, I desire to reason with God. I think about this. Do you desire to have a discussion with God? God, what's going on in my life? Can you help me? God's answer is right here. God, I have this problem in life. Do you have the answer for it? God says it's right here. God, I have this problem. I don't know how to deal with it, and I don't know where to go. God, can you help me? God says it's right here. God wants to discuss with you and reason with you what is right. We're the ones that walk away from reason. God says, come now. Come right now. Let us reason together. Though you're a sinner, sinful, vile, wretched, I'll talk with you. I'll give you advice, counsel, and wisdom. But you know what man does? They rebuff God. They reject God. And they walk away from God as if they're smarter than their creator. They're wiser, they think, in their eyes than their creator. Job said, I desire to reason with God. And he said in Job 13, he says, hear now my reasoning. Eliphaz said, should a wise man utter vain knowledge? Should he reason with unprofitable talk? Elihu said in Job 32, he says, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. He said, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. He said, I skipped the verse, he said, but there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Verse 10, he said, therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons while you searched out what to say. One of the best things you'll ever discover in your life is to listen to differing opinions. One of the best things you'll ever learn in life is learn how to listen to somebody who is critical of you. I know that that's foreign to too many fundamentalists because we don't want our feelings hurt and we don't want anybody to rock the boat, sort of. But you ought to produce the best argument why I should not believe what I believe. If I'm strong enough in my faith, no matter what kind of argument you can present to me, no matter what kind of evidence you can present to me, it won't rattle me at all because I have the Word of God and truth. But too many people stay away from reasonable discussions where you hear somebody else's opinion, where you hear somebody else's view on life. And thus we stay immature because we don't grow because, I don't want them to talk to me because they say things that bother me. Well, are they truthful or not? Have you asked yourself, is it truthful? Is it based in fact? Is it based in reality? Why shy away from that? Why stay immature, remain babyish and stay immature like that? I don't know about you, but I want to grow up. I want to become more mature. The Bible word for mature and grown up is perfect. Perfect does not mean sinless. It just means being mature. And the best way to grow up is to listen to the other side and listen to what they have to say. I'll tell you, some of the best times I've learned the Bible is when I've gone soul winning and knocked on doors and stopped people on the street and they asked me questions I didn't know anything about. You know what I did? I went right back to my Bible to find out the truth. You know what I did? I went back and asked my pastor. I asked my Sunday school teacher. The best way to learn is to confront somebody who has differing views and different opinions. Well, God does that with us. He said, hey, sinner, on your way to hell, come now, let us reason together. You don't want to die and burn in hell. You don't want to get lost, be lost and go out into eternity lost forever. First Peter chapter number 3, please. Let's turn there. First Peter chapter number 3. First Peter chapter number 3. Too many times we're afraid because we don't know what we believe. We don't know how to talk to the cults because we don't know our Bibles. We don't know how to talk to strangers or relatives or friends or acquaintances because we don't know our Bibles. We don't know what it says in the Bible about certain subjects. And so we shy away from those discussions. Well, we ought to be reasonable people. We ought to reason with people. Use logic. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Newsflash, we're all sinners. Newsflash, we've all made mistakes. Newsflash, if both those statements are true, then probably the future statement that we're probably going to make mistakes in the future is probably true too. That probably makes sense, don't you think? If we're all sinners, we've all made mistakes before, there's a pretty good probability that we're going to make more mistakes in the future, hopefully less mistakes that we had in the past because we're growing. But if we're sinners and we've already made mistakes, there's a good chance, a good probability that we're going to make more mistakes in the future. Well, if that be true, I want to learn more wisdom now so I make less mistakes in the future, ladies and gentlemen. I need more truth. I need more judgment. I need more evidence. I need more facts. I need more of the Word of God. I don't want to shy away from difficult things and shy away from controversial truths. And I don't want to shy away from evidence that God has right before me, laid before my eyes. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Starting in verse number 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Most people don't know how to be courteous today. They haven't even learned manners today. They don't know how to sit. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to greet. They just lack of manners. He says, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrarywise, blessed. Now, you have to learn that. You have to learn that from Jesus, amen? Jesus had turned the other cheek. He said, bless them that curse you. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. You have to learn that by reasoning with God. You don't do it on your own. Go ahead and stick a toy between 2 1-year-olds and see what happens. Stick one toy between 2-year-olds and see what happens. One of my nephews had a funny video about midgets boxing. I couldn't stop laughing, man. It was one of the most hilarious things I ever saw in my life, man. Foreign country, Mexico, I can't remember where it was, but it was hilarious, man. Punching each other, one fell down, he got up. The other one fell down, he got knocked out. It was great because there has to be one winner, amen? Well, that's the nature of man. And I'm not against boxing. I'm all for boxing. I'm all for competition. But the nature of a sinful person is put one toy or one thing between two years old and see how they fight it out and cry and whine. You have to teach them to be kind. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them to be courteous. Well, you know how you do that? God says, come now, let us reason together. I know you want to, but you know what? Let the other person go first. I know you want to hit back, but turn the other cheek. I know you want a tit for tat. Why don't you just pray for them that hate you and despitefully use you? You know how God does that? By reason. They're going to burn down and go to hell if they don't get saved. And so God's trying to reason with us. These people are acting this way. They're acting like a bunch of animals because they're lost. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. They're not saved. They don't come to church. They don't read their Bible. You and I, though, hey, pay attention. You and I, if we're saved, we have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. We ought to know better. We ought to know better. We ought not to be like a bunch of animals. We ought not to act like a bunch of animals. We ought not to think like a bunch of animals. So he says, verse number 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are therefore called, thereunto called rather, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. One of the most important truths you'll ever learn in your life is to keep your mouth closed. You ought to keep your mouth closed most times. If you have somebody to ask your opinion, you don't have to give your opinion. You have no business sticking your nose into somebody else's private business. But, you know, it's like when we got saved, now we think we know it all. Haven't read the Bible at all. Don't know what God says about it. But we're going to tell everybody everything we know, the little bit that we think we know, which is not much. Well, verse number 11, let him eschew evil. Spit it out. Eschew means spit out. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Why are you concerned somebody's going to bother you? That's a shallowness. That's an inadequacy that you personally have. Verse number 14. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. If somebody mocks you, criticizes you, if you're right with God, you ought to be glad about it. You ought to be joyful about it. You ought to be happy. It says happy. Pastor, they're making fun of me. That's a good thing. If if you're living for God. If you're doing right, that's a great thing. Now, if you're committing a crime, if you're lying and stealing and cheating, then you know what? That's not good. No. But if you suffer as a Christian, the Bible says that's good. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And here's a verse I want to get to now, the thrust of the sermon. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Are you ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that's within you? Now you think about that. Can you answer any? I don't know about you, but I fall short sometimes when people ask me, you know, we have question answer time just about every Sunday night. But if you've been there for these years, sometimes I say, you know, I don't know. I'll try to find out. Ask me next Sunday night. Because I'm not God. I don't know everything. But I sure do want to learn as much as I can from the Word of God. So God compels us. He said, let's talk about this. Let's reason together. I give you a book with all the knowledge that you need. I've given you a book with all the answers that you need. So if something comes up that you don't know, how come you don't go to the book that has all the answers? If something in your life comes up in your marriage, your children, your health, your finances, your future, your work, your school, how come you didn't go to the book with all the answers? It's got all the answers that you need. Oh, I understand the video games are more important than reading the book that has all the answers for your life. I see watching those movies in the idiot box was time more spent, better spent than reading the Word of God. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How long has it been since you sat down and read the Bible for about an hour? How about getting up in the morning at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and reading the Bible? How about after everybody goes to bed, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and just stay up and read the Bible for a little bit? My Bible says in Acts 17:2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. In Acts 18:4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. In verse number 19, he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Too many believers are too quick to point their finger at somebody and give a one shot off. You're a sinner on your way to hell. If you don't get saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You're going to be burning in hell, he said. And that's how most Christians, or most believers rather, face unbelievers instead of sitting down and talking with them rationally, calmly. I'm not against street preaching. We do it. People pass by. You ought to do it. I'm not against street preaching. But there's something about engaging somebody who has a different opinion and view of life than you do, who has a different outlook on eternity, who doesn't even believe in God. So, Pastor, I don't know how to deal with them. Then learn how to deal with them. Study. Read. Learn. Grow up and mature and deal with people where they're at and try to reason with them. Say, look, you know there's a God, don't you? And you can tell, this morning is not about all the arguments about why there's a God. Somebody asked me years ago, a friend of mine, it wasn't years ago, but it was, somebody asked me, how do you know there's a God? And I started explaining to him, it was a long, detailed answer, and I started explaining it, not saved. I explained to him how I know there's a God. And all the four or five major religions in the world, the major ones, all have a historical account in their own beliefs and in their own writings about a worldwide flood. And I went for, and then he changed his question because that's not what he meant. He said, no, how can a God allow this to happen? I said, well, that's a different question. Well, I would have not known what he was talking about unless I had a discussion with him. Unless I was talking face to face with him. And I answered his first question, but he didn't mean the first question. He meant the second question. Well, you don't know what people mean when they first ask you something, because a lot of people are just ignorant of Bible truths and Bible words. People don't even know what the word repent means today, even people that are saved. So the only way you can find that out is by reasoning with them, having a discussion with them, and talking with them, and then engaging with them. That's exactly what God does with us. I don't know how you got saved, where you got saved, but I'm telling you, some lady took a King James Bible and opened it up and showed me what the book of Romans said. I was on my way to hell as a sinner, and I needed to ask God for salvation. I said, wow, I never heard that one before. I grew up, lit my candles, was an altar boy one time, did what my priest told me to do. I heard about Jesus. I believed in Jesus. It wasn't that bad. Never killed anybody, never robbed any banks. Why should I go to hell? Because God said so, to pay for my sin. He said, come now, let us reason together. You're a sinner on your way to hell. You don't want to go to hell when you die. You know what I did? After 2, 3, 4 months, I got saved. I said, you know what? God's right. I'm wrong. I repented and I asked God. I changed my mind. I asked God to save my soul. It wasn't that complicated when I realized that God was right. And it's not that complicated if you have enough evidence to prove your point of view of what God says about salvation and any other topic past salvation. Hey, if you're saved this morning, you've not been baptized in a baptistry, in a Baptist church, you need to get baptized this morning. The water's ready. Just like last week or the weeks before, you need to get baptized. Why? Because God says so. I'll show you in the Bible. It's not complicated. If you're a child of God, you ought to be a Baptist. So why, Pastor? Well, if Jesus went to a Baptist to get baptized, what makes you any different? He went to a Baptist. He didn't go to Episcopalian or Protestant, Catholic. He went to a Baptist. There's not just for salvation, for every single topic under the sun, ladies and gentlemen, there's an answer for this book, for everything. We're the ones that are ignorant of the truths. We're the ones that fail to have a discussion with people that would be interested because of our lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you know what God says? I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what your view of life is. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And some people, when they listen to reason, they'll get saved. But other people, like Felix, in Acts 24, 25, the Bible says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Didn't have a convenient season to call Paul. But he trembled when he heard Paul reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Let's close with Romans chapter number 12, please. Romans chapter number 12. God is not an unreasonable God, ladies and gentlemen. God's a very reasonable God. He's sinless, he's holy, he's godly, he's God. We, on the other hand, are a bunch of sinful, wretched, no good for nothing rebels outside the grace of God. Romans chapter number 12. We're going to close with this verse. I beseech, Paul's writing. I beseech you therefore, and he's writing in prison, by the way. He's writing from the prison cell. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what God thinks about you coming to church? It's reasonable. It's reasonable. You know what God thinks about you living for God? It's reasonable. About you tithing? Reasonable. About you witnessing and soul winning for God? Reasonable. Staying away from sin? Reasonable. Living right, living separated lives? God says it's your reasonable service. You know why people don't go to church? It's gonna be good. They're unreasonable people. You know why people disobey God? Because they're unreasonable people. It could be they've been drinking that liquor that we talked about in the adult Bible study, that alcohol, and their minds are shot. It could be they've been taking the drugs that we're going to be talking about. And you know what happens? They become unreasonable. Hey, you know what God said? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So whether it's reasoning with God, whether it's reasoning with other people, let's be reasonable, shall we? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy, for your patience, that you waited long enough and sent someone to us when we needed to hear some reason of truth and justice, of righteousness and holiness and salvation. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for the day that we trusted you as our Savior. And I pray, dear God, if anyone in this room is not saved today, may they trust you today because it's the right thing to do. It's a reasonable thing to do. They do not want to die and burn in hell. And I pray, dear God, if there's anyone in this room that's saved, but for whatever reason, they've not seen fit to do what's right, may they come and reason together with thee. Bless this invitation, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.